B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Just keep on.
With a guy that used to listen to Meatloaf prior to games to get fired up.
Really?
Defensive lineman, nose tackle. Pretty good little player, scrappy. Tough son of a bitch.
No kidding.
Tim Goad from North Carolina. You could say he's a hillbilly. And he would sit there and it'd be the one. What's the one with the Meatloaf song with the reporter comes in. Hey now, it's coming around third, coming around four now.
It's Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Thank you. Yeah, a terrible song that women love to listen to when they go to bachelorette party.
Do they?
What, is that a thing?
To this day?
I don't know if it's to, but the 90s, it felt like that.
I kind of feel like
maybe that's bachelorette party. You'd be down there and holding hands, and all of a sudden, there's these like 10 girls jumping up and down a circle when that song comes on.
Okay, so 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it's changed over.
Maybe. Yeah, I would guess that's changed a little bit. Can I ask a question of New England?
Do you need me? Yeah, that one.
I'd like to ask a question.
You're listening to that to get fired up. Good.
Can we please stop doing the AJ Green to the Patriots?
Who's still doing that?
Let me read from NBC Sports Boston.
Yeah, have fun with that.
This is from...
Watch him play.
Justin Ledger.
Called a lot of games against that guy. Go ahead.
AJ Green has enjoyed 7 Pro Bowl seasons in his 9 years with the Bengals. But his time in Cincinnati may be coming to an unceremonious end. The veteran wide receiver's comeback from ankle surgery that kept him sidelined for all of 2019 has been uninspiring. Through 5 games this season, Green has only had 14 catches on 34 targets for 119 yards and no touchdowns. Things didn't get better on Sunday during the Bengals' loss to Baltimore. Green appeared to mouth, "Just trade me." Mm. While sitting on the bench
no
as
problem.
His struggles continue.
Yeah, no problem. Name the team.
Just trade me. The video is remarkable.
Name the dumpster fire you want us to send you to, because we will gladly do it.
It happened with 7:54 to go in the third quarter of that game. And so here come the rumors again about AJ Green possibly coming to New England. There was also a play in that game where a pick was thrown. And A.J. Green, I think, actively tries to avoid the play and avoid even attempting a tackle.
Not only did he avoid the play, it looks like he's trying to lead block for the returner.
It's crazy. It appears
where was
as
he,
if,
ask me, where was he running to?
It appears as if he wants to block someone.
Was he going to block the quarterback?
Team?
Yeah, it's like he was going to go back
and
hit
Burrow.
It's
insane.
Yeah.
So that play, to me, is who A.J. Green is. Yeah, you can tell me about his great touchdowns and long touchdowns and receiving yards and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, Ocho Cinco had those too. Keep going.
Ocho Cinco was a better player. He had some struggles here picking up the offense.
Sure.
But if you're talking about attitude on a game in, game out basis, Ocho Cinco, at least you can see why a team would want him. AJ Green, I don't want that. That is the biggest diva of the diva receivers.
Give me Golden Tate 10 out of 10 days ahead of this guy.
Absolutely.
Give me a guy who wants to compete,
Tate
that wants
is
the
not
ball.
As skilled
no,
as
but he balls.
AJ Green, but I'd take him over AJ Green.
AJ Green. Just a name. Everybody gets giddy on a name.
I don't want that.
We haven't done this on this show in how many years? Ever since the trade deadline start coming around and names start popping up. Never once did we do the AJ Green thing. Same player he was 4 years ago. Same thing.
Not only that, he's coverable. It's not that hard to figure out AJ Green. Hit him at the line of scrimmage and he quits.
Yeah, I've seen defensive backs here do that to him timelessly. Over and over again. No, don't want the player. Guy quits.
I mean, that play for him on Sunday was unprofessional.
I crushed Demaryius. I crushed Demaryius Thomas during broadcast for this too. Mm-hmm. About checking out of games. Then he would always make this one ridiculous catch at the end of the game because the team was down or something. They needed him. But for the other 51 minutes, he didn't play. I think Green's worse than him. At least you could throw a slant to that guy and that guy would go, or a slip screen. And it's kind of that design play. And he's pretty artistic when he runs that.
Sure.
Green, just you put him, pin him on a sideline, that dude will run on the white. Look for the white stripe to get out. Soft. Bring him here.
No. No, no,
think
no.
Think I was bad
no.
on Sanu? Think I was bad on Sanu and Brockett? Bring him to me.
Andrew's in Waltham. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
This message is for Hardy's comment earlier saying, this is not a big deal about the locker room. Is the locker room that big of a deal? Yes, I think it is a big deal because the center of your offense has it confirmed. Your best defensive player has it confirmed. You're trying to prevent an outbreak, and you get stuffed in a plane and a bus right before the game, and then they stuff you in a toaster in this massive stadium with the Chiefs. I'd be pissed, too, if I was Bill. He's just holding it in. I think you should be mad.
Okay, you just said it, though. They were on a plane. They were on a bus. They're in locker rooms together before. Why is this one locker room in Kansas City like so much more dangerous than these other places, which, by the way, by all indications, there wasn't any spread in the locker room anyway.
They're 2 feet on top of each other. Everything else
there
is
wasn't
done with
any spread in the locker room. Bitching about it. People are still bitching about it more than a week after the fact.
They keep them all condensed then. Be the natural standard around the league for visiting locker rooms.
It's not the natural right. standard. It's one place. You went there. You don't have to go again. I mean, why are you still hanging on to this?
Because if you can prevent an outbreak, why wouldn't you try to do what you can to prevent it? Instead of stuffing them in a toaster, spread them out.
Okay, but they didn't spread it by all indications by being in that locker room.
Well, the team does believe that Byron Cowart's case could have been linked to the locker room.
So, could have, maybe, or the bus, or the plane.
That's what I was saying.
Or at the team meet. I mean, look, you don't know. People are looking for a place to direct their anger. Direct it at Kansas City and their small locker room. Okay. I just think when you've got, it's like we've been talking about since before they even started playing. You've got linemen going up against each other. They're not wearing face masks. They're literally breathing and spitting in each other's faces during the game. But you want to focus all your anger and your venom over a small locker room in one stadium that, oh, by the way, you don't have to go into again.
They may not
so
admit
go
this.
Ahead. Go ahead and walk around pissed off and I can't believe. You got to get over it. Out of all the things to be upset about and the things that you think are unjust and the things that aren't being done correctly right now in this league right this time, this falls way down but toward the bottom of the list.
The part that is annoying about that is Hardy, I say, yes, that's a valid concern and valid criticism of the Chiefs. But if you want to do that, if you want to throw yourself into the blame game where you want to blame the NFLPA and you want to blame the league and you want to blame the locker room in Kansas City, you've also then got to blame yourself. And say, what was Cam Newton doing in the weeks up to his positive test?
Right.
Where was he? Where was he going? And why couldn't he just pull up the mask at the very least? And I know, I bring up the mask as a way of saying it many times reflects people's general attitudes towards the virus, right? And so those are fair game questions. If you want to start doling out blame to the Chiefs, then you can't say Cam Newton is off limits. See, and you can't just throw they're playing in a pandemic and it's hard. If you want to nail it down to why it happened and place blame, you can't place blame on Kansas City while also not looking at yourself as a team and asking, did we do everything possible? Did Cam and Steph Gilmore need to go to dinner at a restaurant the way they did?
No.
Exactly. So what's more dangerous, the locker room in Kansas City or the restaurant?
My guess is the restaurant.
Yes.
But real quick, if they're sitting at the restaurant and they're like within that 6 foot space and they've the more than obviously 15 minutes of this exposure time, and that's how they feel that really Gilmore got it is from Cam, wouldn't it be something? And you structure your visiting locker room because offense is on one side, defense is on the other, and it's in groupings because you don't want guys stepping over each other in preparation, and especially at halftime when you assemble offense and defense and you make your adjustments. Wouldn't it be something if they know it and they're just not saying it that? Boy, the way that locker room staggered, it zigzagged across if Gilmore and Cowart's locker were face-to-face with each other. And man, that's direct. And we find out later that he got it. That's why maybe we're so pissed at Kansas City's
so,
denial of allowing us more space. But
you know what the size of that locker room is?
Yeah, played it. Yeah.
Oh, so it hasn't changed.
Hasn't changed. I was out
in
there for
30 years,
dude.
Anyone else from the Patriots been in that locker room before?
Yes.
Did they have
AFC
an idea?
AFC title game 2 years ago. I'm in there.
So
we can't
why
move.
Didn't they do so? If this is such a problem, if this is such a big deal that 9 days later. Still angry about it. People are still angry about it. Why didn't, I don't know, at least the day before, somebody from the Patriots who have every base covered and every conceivable variable of every single game get on the phone and say, oh, by the way, we're going to need a separate room
they
for
did.
Some of the guys to get dressed. And they were told, no, you can't do it.
Yes.
Yeah, they made the request and they were denied.
When they dressed the locker room, yes.
Then you say, we can't do that. We can't stay within protocol that is mandated by the league by going in there. You got to figure something else out. They asked and they said no. Since when do you take no for an answer? You can't do it. We can't go in that locker room. It's so obviously dangerous. It's so obviously the catalyst for this mini outbreak that we have now.
So you blame the Patriots for going in that locker room then? If they requested and were denied.
Back to what Beatles said about everyone has to take some responsibility for what you're doing in this and the situations you put yourself in. And if it's so obviously unsafe to go in there, then they shouldn't have gone in there.
Hell, they went to the lengths of taking two planes. The Patriots made extra accommodations for themselves on this trip. Right?
Yeah.
If it were so dangerous, you could say, well, we're just not going to go in that room. We're not going to do it. I'll go get dressed on the bus.
That's the confusing part of it is we went to all these extremes, and then, for Jesus, the 3 hours of pregame, we're all sitting on top of each other. What is it? Do you want a space or do you not want a space?
Let's go to Nick, who's in East Boston. Hi, Nick.
What's up, Zo?
Hi.
What's up, Beetle?
Hey.
I don't know if I've been hearing enough about this, and maybe I'm acting like a conspiracy, theorist craze, but the week three after the Patriots played the Raiders, that weekend, supposedly the Raiders had a big team event where there was no mask, no social distancing. And then it was that weekend when Cam got it, then Steph got it. So can we maybe shift some attention to the Raiders and Gruden and those Mark Davis, those idiots, for maybe causing the problem that's in the spread in the Patriots locker room now? I think that could play a part in it, but I feel like nobody's talking
about
it.
But none of those guys tested positive on the Raiders.
They're all negative. You got to be positive to infect somebody.
And they're getting tested all the time. Yeah.
There you go.
That's why no one's brought it up.
Here's all problems.
Yeah, it's okay. That's why no one's brought it up, because those guys didn't have it. So, that's your answer on that one.
Yep.
617-779-0985. Let's get an update on the Red Sox managerial search.
All right.
And what some of the latest rumors be on that. Is Alex Cora coming back to Boston? And Billy Bean, baseball Billy Bean. What's his involvement with the Red Sox going to be these days? We'll tell you all about this. It's on the way. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
617-779-0985. Is Alex Cora coming back to the Red Sox? Is that what's going on today? I'm trying to decipher that through some of the rumors and some of the stories that make passing mentions of Alex Cora. I'm trying to go through Karabas's timeline.
It's like all for naught, right? Like, I just got to decide you're going to wear red or white inside his shoes, right?
Are there hints in Karabas's timeline somewhere about this where he starts hinting at things and then it happens? I don't know. It's just something to think about. Alex Cora, that is, has been mentioned in some stories. And I want to tell you about that if my page would work here. Anyway, it could be that he's coming back to be the Red Sox manager. A.J. Hinch has been named as a possible candidate to replace Rick Renteria in Chicago. You read to this line from the Chicago Sun-Times. On Monday, White Sox general manager Rick Hahn said the Sox will likely go outside the organization for an experienced replacement. He sidestepped a question about whether A.J. Hinch's or Alex Cora's involvement in the scandal would preclude him from considering them. Cora, 44, was on Hinch's bench coach with the Astros in 2017, and he resigned as Red Sox manager before the 2020 season. Was it officially a resignation? That was a parting of the ways. Sources say the White Sox are not interested in Cora, who may be headed back to Boston anyway. Is that an informed line from the baseball writer at the Chicago Sun-Times, or is that just speculation?
I think it may be just speculation at this point, but wouldn't it hurt Cora moving forward, too, that everybody just assumes you're going back there and nobody would be interested in you? If that is not the case, meaning, you know, if that's an uninformed opinion, like that hurts Cora then. Takes away other possibilities where he might be interested in going or other things he might want to do in his career.
Maybe it's already been worked out behind the scenes.
Maybe this thing was done 2 years ago.
Then there is this. Peter Gammons tweeting yesterday the fact that Alex Cora's close friend, Ramon Vasquez, was retained as a Red Sox coach seems to indicate the Red Sox expect Alex Cora will come back when the World Series ends. Huh. He then writes, maybe bench coach. That's what he says. He's also managing a winter team currently, talking about Ramon Vasquez. There's another story that indicates there could even be a path for Ron Renicki to return.
Because there's a vacancy on that staff.
Ian Brown, he writes, Jerry Nairn and Craig Bjornsson will not be returning to the Red Sox coaching staff. Interestingly, all other coaches were invited to return, even though we don't know who the next manager is. At the very least, it's interesting that nearly Alex Cora's entire coaching staff has been invited back, even with a vacancy, for Ron Renicki to possibly return as bench coach. Ian Brown, MLBRedSox.com. Huh. So, wait. Ron Renicki is coming back? Renicki's back?
That's one of the few guys Cora thanked, Ron Renicki.
Well, I said, weeks ago, I said, why are they firing Ron Renicki if Alex Cora is coming back? Trying to read those tea leaves and say,
well, technically, you have to fire him.
If Cora's coming back, they don't have to fire Renicki.
Just have to rehire him.
Ron Renicki. Do they have to demote him? Why don't they just demote him?
Yeah, he wasn't interim manager, was he?
No.
He was named Red Sox manager.
Yes. Well, he may have.
He was so emotional when he left.
I think he was technically.
Very emotional.
Was he technically an interim manager?
I think he was.
Oh, God. What about all the local people? The local media kissed his ass on the way out. Like, oh, what a great guy. I just feel so bad for him. Oh, the wringing of the hands, the crying, the tears. Where he was never leaving.
Have we heard
coming back?
Have we heard even a single rumor or report of the Red Sox interviewing anybody?
No. Haven't really heard anything Red Sox wise.
Nothing.
Like
maybe Cora is coming back. Maybe that's the deal.
So he should elevate all these bad players that they have. I mean, that's good, right? That's a pretty damn good team you had 2 years ago. Pretty damn good assembled team. All those players aren't here. You better be ready.
So when you bring back, this is my point when we talked about it a few weeks ago. If you bring back Alex Cora and the team's not as good, like you just said, they're not a 108-win team.
Yeah.
What if What if the team sucks? What if the manager doesn't do a good job? Because when you're really so good, that team was a wagon. They were so good. When you win 108 games, you excuse all of the managerial mistakes. And we mentioned them along the way, but we said every time, doesn't matter. Team's winning. It has not come back to bite Alex Cora. Pitching change, second guesses. Lineup, second guesses. Defensive change, second guess. Everything. Everything that goes into second guessing a manager. We sort of mentioned it, but said, doesn't matter. The team's good. They're winning a million games. You get let off the hook. Manage the personalities. That's what Alex Cora is going to do best.
Yeah.
Connect with the players and get the very best out of the players on a daily basis, and you excuse away the managerial mistakes. The managerial mistakes are front and center when a team sucks. And you're not Ron Renneke, and you're someone who's expected to be good. Does he get the leash of a new manager? Like,
what's their guy?
Oh, Cora's back, so he gets a minimum 3 years? Is that how that works?
Sure. They love him. Yeah. Be good with the media, too. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
The media will like him.
Yay.
Be nicer to us.
Yay.
That'd be some media ploy. Oh, let's get him back. Be in good graces of the media around here.
Has Alex Cora done a full-blown interview with anybody since the scandal? I don't think he has, right? I know he's given
a long sit-down.
I know he's given some quotes.
He's given some quotes, but I don't think you had the long sit-down. Okay, let's do the 30 for 30 here.
If there was some baseball reporter with some teeth, who would that be that would do that interview?
Drellick.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that's what Drellick. I'd like to see. I'd like to see the Drellick.
Because he's not here anymore, right? So, you know, I don't have anybody pulling my strings here, my puppet strings.
Evan Drellick.
Cora talked with ESPN June of this year.
Right, that was at a charity event, right?
First extended interview since he was suspended. He said he was willing to take some of the responsibility from the sign stealing with the Astros, but he wasn't the only one at fault. Speaking with ESPN. So
was it Marley extended, Rivera? It might have been Marley Rivera. I vaguely remember them being at a charity event of some sort.
And yeah. Chris Price wrote about it. I'm looking at it on, I think about Boston.com. So to what extent he spoke about things having to do with the Red Sox.
I want like the full on camera sit down. I want the Sunday conversation, Hardy. That's what I want. Remember Sunday conversation?
Oh, yeah.
That's the little thing. ESPN ditched that with it. I don't know what's on ESPN anymore.
I don't think this time.
Roy Firestone used to do some of this.
You know my favorite? You know, this is a weird thing. Who? Sorry.
Roy Firestone. Did he do some?
Oh, maybe a long time ago.
Yeah.
I find ESPN the most useful during college football season for the Saturday night late highlights.
I like College Game Day.
Yeah, I'm talking about after the fact. 11 o'clock on a Saturday night.
All around.
When
Let's
they go.
Go
through all the games.
Oh, yeah.
That's when I find them. They're at their most useful time of the year.
That's about it.
And that's about it for me.
Oh, yeah.
I watched it last Saturday night, and they're obviously not a full slate of games like usual, but still. That's where I find they come in clutch. Charles in New Hampshire on this. Hey, Charles.
Hey, my comment to this, I for experience-wise and, you know, to get the team riled up, I think they should hire Jason Varitek to manage.
So, your thoughts. Jason Varitek, Red Sox manager. You're a friend of Jason Varitek?
Tech. No.
Friend of yours?
I don't think he wants this right now.
Buddy of yours, as I like to say.
You think he wants this or you think he likes his gig? I think he likes his gig, being around the team.
I think his gig is probably great.
That's like the whole Pedro thing. Yeah, put Pedro in there. He know how to get to these pitchers.
You think Pedro would want to do that?
Hell no. As a player, you know the time invested. You understand it. Then you sort of make that transition. You be around the team. I think Tech's got it pretty good right now.
Even if you don't have to do that much,
yeah.
It's the hours. Oh my God, those managers, they're at the park.
Plus, you know the 10. Makeup. You know the makeup of the team. Do you want that gig?
What time did Tito used to get in? Like 10 a.m. for his 7 o'clock game day?
Five, 7 hours before it.
11 a.m. he would be there. There for 12 hours.
Oh, yeah, you want me to get here early every day?
Pedroia's here already, even playing some cards with him in the back. Shucks.
I mean, guys with like young families or, you know, they like their lives. Why don't you come be a manager? What do you have to do? Not much except never be home from
It's got to be fun after the game,
February until October.
It's your whole life.
It's got to be fun after the game, Hardy, too, leaving that street where they compact all those cars in. Everybody parks in that one street and just get everybody in there nice and tight. Don't worry, traffic will be a breeze getting out of here.
617-779-0985. What's happening with Red Sox ownership? What's going to go on there? And how's Billy Bean involved? That's right. The Athletics' Billy Bean, Moneyball Bean, could soon have his hands in the Red Sox ownership. We'll explain the connection. We'll tell you about it and the latest news on that. And more of your calls are next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Billy Bean, famous baseball executive. Moneyball Billy Bean.
Oh, he's Moneyball guy, huh?
That's who he is. We know that Billy Bean had interviewed with the Red Sox, what, 18 years ago?
Remember that weirdness with the private jet and going back and forth so he could see the daughter? And how the hell were you ever going to pull that thing off?
That scene was actually played out in the movie Moneyball as well at Fenway Park. One interesting note, Evan Drellick writes on his Twitter last night. One interesting note regarding Billy Bean. The Red Sox asked for permission on him in 2002, 18 years ago, as we all know. But they also asked permission on Bean again in 2019 before hiring Heim Bloom. Ownership's vision was to have a senior voice for someone more inexperienced. So Bloom was not their first choice. And they tried to get Billy Bean again. There's a problem with that in 2019. Maybe Billy Bean was not all that interested because Billy Bean is moving on up onto bigger things. Let me read this from the Wall Street Journal reporting last night that the proposed deal to take the parent company of the Boston Red Sox public leaves Billy Bean, the Oakland Athletics executive, with a different difficult choice, it says here. He runs the A's front office and holds a minority stake in the team. He could soon have a financial interest in the Red Sox as part of the sports empire overseen by John Henry. This story suggests that Billy Bean might leave baseball and would be overseeing the soccer division of Fenway Sports
Group. That sounds exciting.
It means he's basically a part of Red Sox ownership, the way I look at it. And he's no longer in baseball. And Billy Bean is now a guy who's running a soccer team in Europe, or sort of overseeing that division. Let me ask a question.
He'd be a Liverpool guy.
Yeah. Let me ask a question.
Sure.
Would you buy stock in the Red Sox?
The actual baseball team or Fenway Sports Group?
Good question.
Well, no.
I would buy stock in Fenway.
Okay. Well, what it would be is, what do you mean? The team or what are you trying?
Well, no, I'm trying to separate the team from Fenway Sports Group.
He doesn't want to invest in the Red Sox, but he'd invest in...
The team is owned by Fenway Sports Group.
I understand that, technically.
Okay.
Do you want to invest in Target? Yes, please. Do you want to invest in Target's automotive section? No.
Yeah.
No.
Do you get an extra tire if you buy three? Fourth one's free.
In case you've missed this story, it's called Red Ball Acquisition Corp. They're going to merge with Fenway Sports Group. And if the merger is done, it lines up the Red Sox, Fenway Sports Group, to be publicly traded. That's the goal there. So you could buy stock in Fenway Sports Group. And that would involve the European soccer team, which apparently Bean would be running, even though he's got another ownership stake in a Dutch soccer team. Who knew? Billy Bean into European soccer.
Sure to be in board soccer.
Right? So would you buy stock in Fenway Sports Group? You say yes. Would you buy stock in the Red Sox?
So you're bringing them back together again?
No, let's separate them out. Red Sox.
No.
Yeah, I don't think I
wouldn't
would
touch them.
I don't think I would either.
I don't love that business model.
I don't. It's just they've.
See, but here's your thing.
It's a baseball problem.
Do you buy low?
If you
can't run it into the ground anymore, than they have. So you're buying low.
Not
based on the valuation.
Well, if you can somehow place a value on it based on what it cost to buy in last year as opposed to this year or 2 years ago, yes, now would be the time. The problem is that you have nothing to base it off of. You couldn't buy in 2 years ago. You want to buy in right now? I don't even know. I don't even know if it's a good deal. I have nothing to measure it against. I would not buy in on the Red Sox, though, period. It just there's too much happening with that team right now that I don't like the direction that it's going.
I don't know who's running it.
Not the least of which you don't know who the manager is going to be, which doesn't make that big of a difference.
It does, though, but who's the CEO?
Probably not.
Who's the head honcho over there?
Who's running the Red Sox?
Larry Lucchino.
So the valuation still run the Red Sox.
The valuation that Red Bull bought in at is at a valuation of $8 billion for Fenway Sports Group.
For Fenway,
That seems sort of right. I mean, that's probably you add up those Forbes valuations; they're in the right ballpark there.
But it feels like the group knows what they're doing. The ties with LeBron, the ties with soccer. And I know soccer's a moneymaker over there.
Yeah,
I like to have fun and poke fun at it. But I understand the value of having a soccer team over there and the way people go gaga over it.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
And what some of those soccer stars are making.
Right. Where's the other $2 billion coming from? Red Sox last valuation, $3.3 billion. Liverpool's worth $2.7.
Oh, they own other stuff. They own NASCAR. They have a NASCAR team.
Yeah, NASCAR.
They've got is it NASCAR or Open Wheel?
No, it's NASCAR. Yeah.
I mean, is it all the other stuff combined worth $2 billion that they own?
Let's look at the portfolio. Hold on. The Northern Trust.
Let me see the prospectus.
Roush Fenway Racing and NASCAR. Liverpool. Nessun. You got to remember they own the TV network.
That's right.
They have something to do with LeBron James still.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Some sort of marketing deal with LeBron James. They've got their hands in a number of things. They list some things on their site that you're like,
Roush Fenway Racing is worth $150 million.
Huh. It's not worth as much as you think it'd be worth.
Yeah, okay. Well, all right. We're still about 1.7, 1.8 billion short.
Here's another question about this that I have. Is this John Henry's way of stepping back? A lot of people have speculated that he could be selling the team at some point. Is this just the way that he takes a step back or dials back his, the everyday?
Okay, he's expanded. He's brought four championships here to this city. How many has he won over there, soccer-wise? What, two? Liverpool? I mean, I don't even know. But given his age, and I know he's a numbers guy, man. He loves math and he loves making money. But at some point, I'm tapped out, man. Had a hell of a run.
I mean, he's not that old. He's 71. He's not old.
I know that, but the way you can delegate responsibility, like, it doesn't mean you totally check out.
It's like, I don't need to bust, my bust my butt every day. Like, I'm gonna dial back a little bit. I'm gonna go do something.
I might just love being in Europe, and my wife might love being in Europe, but I know the whole globe tie and all that, but I might just want to stay over there and deal with that. Yeah, I'm fine.
More of a hands-off approach.
Yes.
That's what I wonder.
Yes.
So not a full-blown team sale. I mean, I think when people say, oh, he's going to sell the team, people think,
it's not just a
four sale sign out front on
the lawn.
It's
not 100% dump. Yeah.
It's not the way it was sold last time, where it was one brand new group buying from what was the Yaki Trust, but still, it's not going to go like that. It could look something like this as a way of sort of exiting. Something to think about.
Maybe.
Maybe.
The ballpark's never going to get bigger here. You're never going to build another one. I mean,
I was watching.
I've expanded it. We've put every resource into it. We've got money back. We've won multiple times upon multiple times. What more do you want me to do?
617-779-0985. I was watching the news last night, and they showed this story about a cougar chasing some kid down a path.
Old woman?
Not a kid.
See, yeah, I don't like that either. If it's a young man, then the...
And when I say cougar, I mean the actual animal.
Oh. All right.
Yes. Yeah, an actual cougar, not a...
Okay. This could get weird with the whole animal thing. Because the bear's coming at you, they always said, make that noise, like, quack, quack. We've done that one.
Well, yeah, this is sort of similar, where this young man was being chased by a cougar on a running trail.
T-Rex comes after you, freeze, don't move.
Hiking trail, whatever it might be. And then I went and watched the full 6-minute video.
How'd it go?
It was amazing. Absolutely.
How long
amazing.
Into the 6 minutes were you rooting for the cougar?
Oh, probably 30 seconds
in. Yeah.
30 seconds
in. I watched the full 6 minutes also.
Is this one of those animals where they just beat the hell out of the human?
Well, you're going to find out next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're a scary kitty cat.
This story has gone national today, so you're going to see this video at some point. Guy's name is Kyle Burgess. 26 years old. He was on a 10-mile run on Saturday in Provo, Utah. And he came across 4 cougar cubs on the trail, took out his phone to start filming a little video of it. Then the mother cougar came out. And she was not happy. For the next 6 minutes, the cougar followed him on the trail. At some point, hissing, threatening, making some aggressive movements toward this guy, Kyle.
How do they even do that with their paws out like that?
And I've never wanted to see someone eaten by a cougar more than I did, Kyle. I was rooting for the cougar.
That's almost a qua.
It's very similar. It's better than the qua.
It's the new qua. I'm so sick of qua that we got to adopt this noise now.
I think it's got to be in the mix.
Look at those paws when it does the out. Oh, my God.
First of all, you come across cougar cubs. They may be cute, but you get the hell out of there, right? I mean, especially if you're like, this guy probably spends more time out running trails than all three of us combined lifetime ever have, ever will. So shouldn't he know? Like, you know, Zoe, if you were to come across some cougar cubs or some bear cubs, what would you do?
Keep moving.
But think that, you know, normally when you see those little ducks cross the road and then here comes the mother duck, or you see it with the geese and the turkeys now. Turkeys are everywhere. But there's the one dad turkey on the mother turkey. That thing's full spread. Just waiting to attack. Because they're there to protect.
It's not even like a nature thing. It's just like that's a common sense. That's like a caveman brain thinking kicking in.
Boggles.
Like, you get the hell out of there.
Boggles my mind that he's up that rocky path with all those rocks. And never once does he pick up a rock to throw it at that cougar.
Well, that's what he finally does at the end. is he does throw a rock at the end. That's what I heard on the news this morning. I didn't see it in the video, but this guy is way more concerned with taking his video.
Don't do that.
Than he is of actually getting away from the cougar. If he were that concerned, don't you think he would have stopped filming at some point?
Seems like he's had this happen to him before, and he kind of understands what's going on.
I wondered if he was taking the video so that when they found him mauled on the trail up there, that there'd be evidence of how it is he came to his demise. That's what I really thought he was taking the video.
You think you enjoy this video? Now that's a video.
Oh, now that's one you want to see. That's the Rotten.com content we're here for.
Oh, boy.
I love that website. I know you do. I like the morgue pictures.
But I think the part that sealed it for me, Hardy, because I'm now speaking after having seen the entire film, was the way this guy acts once the cougar does turn and walk away. Do we have the ender? Do we have the ender, T-Bone? We must.
That's the part where you really wish that cougar would have gotten them.
That's what you say to yourself. You know what? My instincts on this one were right.
There are people that deserve to be mauled and eaten. I agree. Like, you push things to a certain extent, or you go into certain environments where you think you shouldn't be. You root for the animal. There are times I root for the animal.
He's terrified on the video, as he should be. He's got a cougar hunting him down, stalking him. And then once he does throw something, because you see the dust kick up and the cat takes off and goes the other way. But the smack that this guy talks to a cat that just ran away, big cat, exotic cat, sealed it in my mind.
Majestic.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that thing charges and it's on its hind legs, and it's just, you could tell it's crazy. Only running on hind legs because the front two are up and ready to strike and swat.
Would you like to know what the Humane Society recommends about facing down a cougar?
I would.
Or, and the other names for the cougar. Cougar, Legion, for they have many names. Mountain lion, puma, cougar, panther, all the same thing.
And of course, its scientific name, Milpheus cougius.
No, that is puma concolor.
Oh.
Yeah, get the f*** away from me. Face. Oh, damn it. Okay. Yeah, so that just happened.
Yeah, no, it did. Yeah, you get away from me. Like, shut up, dude.
All right, so according to the Humane Society, you should directly face the cougar, but look at the cougar's feet, not directly into their eyes, to avoid appearing aggressive.
Oh, okay.
So you just look at the foot, the hoof.
Paw.
I stare my dog down every once in a while, just to let him know who boss is.
Good. If the cougar displays aggressive behavior, try to appear larger. So, Zoe, maybe you could demonstrate.
Zoe, get big.
Raise your arms or open your jacket over your head. Because you're not wearing a shirt, are you?
No, I'm not.
Make noise.
Do it anyway.
Make noise by yelling, blowing a whistle, or an air horn.
Oh, well, I don't know that he had any of those.
What if you can't wet your lips at that point because you're so scared bleepless?
Tippy toe, tippy toe. Lemon tree. So that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to make yourself appear bigger, raise your arms, open your jacket over your head so you look like kind of like a Mothman, right?
So yeah. Become Mothman.
Right. Become Mothman. And then, make a lot of noise. Don't just call Richard Gere on the phone late at night in his motel room and talk to him. Make more noise than a Mothman would in real life.
Grenade horn.
And then throw a t-shirt at him.
Oh, man. Can you imagine coming across one of those?
No, because we have the Rent the Mountain line.
Oh, that's right.
But here's the other question, specifically for you, Zoe.
Indigenous to Joe's Rock, yes.
You think you could take that cat?
No.
You couldn't. You said you wanted to fight a moose.
Moose don't have nails.
What about a giraffe?
Not after watching the giraffe videos. Nope. I would choose moose out of those three.
So you would fight a moose before you'd fight a mountain lion?
Hell yes, in a second. I don't mess with cats, any kind of cat. That's why cats are strange, man. Aloof. Mm. You never know when they're going to strike, when they're going to attack.
Mm.
Moody.
Emotional.
I was playing with a cat once, one of these
petting zoo?
Cousins. No.
One of her cousins had a cat. Low-rent petting zoo?
Just cats. Over there visiting, and it's a nice cat sitting on the, you know, sitting here on a couch thing, and I, like, go to pet it. So the thing lunges out, attacks my face, and it grabs inside. I take that cat, I throw it against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You don't mess with cats.
You think Carol Baskin could get into cougars?
Oh.
No.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.